What if I told you that the ultimate future of artificial intelligence isn't actually this like massive multi-billion parameter supercomputer humming away in some huge server farm,
Right.
but instead it's just a single solitary binary bit, a literal one or a zero.
Yeah, which sounds crazy.
It really does. I mean, you might think that sounds like a step backward, but today's source material claims exactly that.
And honestly, it is the absolute definition of a paradigm shift. We're looking at a theoretical framework here that it doesn't just make files smaller, it attempts to literally quantify understanding itself, right down to its most basic, undeniable state.
And that is exactly what we are exploring today. Welcome to today's deep dive. If you're listening right now, you are the third mind in the room with us,
Yep.
the inherently curious learner that we just love having along for the ride.
Always.
Today, we are looking at this incredibly intricate text exchange, and it outlines a theoretical framework called conditional collapse theory, or CCT, and the text applies this theory directly to AI compression algorithms.
Which, I should warn you, is a remarkably dense source text. It's pulling
Yes.
from information theory, thermodynamics,
Oh,
cryptography.
yeah, it's a lot.
But if we take the time to really unravel it, it's incredibly rewarding.
Definitely. And our mission for this deep dive is to explore how this CCT framework radically redefines what artificial intelligence even is. I mean, we're not talking about a chatbot that just convincingly regurgitates its training data,
Right, yeah.
or, a system that cleanly zips your PDFs to save space on your hard drive.
No, not at all.
We are talking about an AI that treats data compression as a dynamic cognitive process, a literal mathematical search for absolute truth and underlying mechanisms.
And to really get into the right headspace for this, I've adjusted the visual backdrop in the studio here today.
Yeah, I've been looking at it. It's wild.
Right. We're transitioning from our usual setup to this shifting fluid constellation of star charts mixed with like complex differential equations. And this visually represents the semantic space-time that the source material actually describes.
Wow.
This is the literal environment this theoretical AI navigates.
I love it. It looks like we are flying through the matrix of meaning or something.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand this new AI paradigm, we first have to completely change how we view data compression from the ground up.
Right. Forget everything you know.
Seriously, the old way of thinking about it is just like mindless utility, right? Standard file compression, like making a ZIP file, is essentially just packing a suitcase really efficiently.
Right.
You find repeating patterns, you roll the socks up, shove them inside the shoes to save some space, and you just zip it shut.
Yeah, that's classical compression in a nutshell.
Right.
Algorithms like the LZ family or Huffman coding, they're purely structural.
Okay.
They look for syntactic redundancy. They honestly do not care if the file is a Shakespearean sonnet, a medical record, or just a string of random numbers.
It's all the same to them.
Right. They just pack the suitcase mathematically. It's just about making it smaller.
But the CCT AI compression from our source material is entirely different. It's not just packing the suitcase. To stick with the analogy, it's like the AI looks at the items in the suitcase, understands the actual purpose of your trip,
Yes.
realizes you're going to a tropical beach, and then decides you don't even need the heavy winter coat in the first place.
Exactly.
It effectively collapses the physical requirements of the luggage based on meaning.
What's fascinating here is that the source text explicitly redefines the entire concept. Under CCT, compression isn't byte reduction at all.
Okay.
It is termed semantic entropy collapse.
Semantic entropy
Right.
collapse.
The AI doesn't just apply a single packing rule and call it a day. It navigates what the text calls a semantic manifold of compressors.
Okay, so if it's a manifold of compressors, I'm assuming that means it has options. Like it's looking at a giant menu of algorithms and picking the best one for the job.
It goes much deeper than just picking from a menu, actually. Instead of hard coding one single algorithm, the system uses what the text calls a super Boolean operator.
A super Boolean operator.
Yeah, and it actually maintains over 100 different compression algorithms in a state of uniform superposition.
Wait, like quantum superposition,
Yes.
it's holding all 100 algorithms active in its mind at the exact same time.
Yeah, initially it's completely uncertain which algorithm is the absolute best for the specific chunk of data it's looking at.
Okay.
So it holds them all as active possibilities. But as it analyzes the data, the probabilities start to shift. The text says it tracks an ODE trajectory to find the path of least resistance.
Okay, I have to admit, I got a little lost when the text brought up tracking an ODE trajectory.
The ordinary differential equation.
Yeah, ordinary differential equations are for modeling continuous change, right? Like how heat moves through a metal plate or, you know, fluid dynamics. But we're talking about discrete computer files and digital algorithms. How does a continuous fluid equation apply to a digital file?
That is the exact right question to ask, and honestly, it's the mathematical genius of the CCT framework.
Really?
Yeah. It takes a discrete problem, choosing between 100 distinct algorithms, and it mathematically smooths it out.
Smooths it out.
Right. It transforms the discrete algorithms into continuous mathematical landscape. So imagine a ball rolling down a complex, hilly terrain.
Okay, I can picture that.
The terrain represents the cost of using certain algorithms.
Yeah.
The ODE calculates the continuous, most efficient path for that ball to roll down to the lowest possible point.
Ah, I see. So it essentially treats the algorithms not as separate, rigid boxes, but as a fluid space it can literally flow through.
Exactly.
And the goal of rolling down that hill is to minimize the final entropy, meaning the file size or the uncertainty, while simultaneously minimizing the compute cost or the work required to get there.
Yes, exactly. And to actually steer that trajectory, to figure out which algorithm collapses the entropy the best without wasting energy, it relies on a really fascinating piece of internal architecture.
Okay.
The text calls it the 16-element semantic proof engine.
16 elements? Wow.
Yeah. The source breaks down these 16 virtual elements, and it's essentially the dashboard the AI uses to evaluate reality.
Okay, let's put this into a tangible scenario for the listener, just to ground it. Say we feed the system a massive, highly complex data set. Maybe it's a huge batch of raw internet traffic logs.
Sure.
The engine fires up. What are these 16 elements actually doing?
Well, they're evaluating the data on multiple dimensions simultaneously, and they are constantly in tension with one another.
In tension, like fighting.
Sort of, yeah. For example, element one is chunk entropy.
Okay.
That simply measures the raw randomness of the data chunk. Is it highly ordered, or is it just pure chaos?
And simultaneously, you have element five, right? Semantic type, which is trying to categorize that chaos. It's asking, is this raw text? Is it executable computer code? Is it just visual binary noise?
Precisely. But here is where the mechanical friction happens and why it's not just a simple calculation.
Okay.
You also have element six, which is algo cost. And this calculates the actual physical computational energy required to run a specific compressor on that data.
So element one might say, this data is incredibly chaotic. And element five says, well, it's video data.
Right.
And maybe a highly complex algorithm could compress it perfectly. But then element six chimes in and says, wait, running that specific video compressor will take 10 times the energy we're actually allowed to spend?
Exactly.
So they fight it out.
That's a great way to visualize it. It's a dynamic balancing act. And it doesn't just sit there guessing. You know, the AI actively discards the algorithms that fail to reduce entropy efficiently.
Oh, it throws them out.
Yeah. The text calls this process memory pruning. If a pathway requires too much energy for too little compression, it's aggressively pruned from the active superposition.
Wow. So it's just ruthlessly efficient. And all of this calculation, this balancing of the 16 elements, it all culminates in element 16, the final element on the dashboard.
Yes. Proof stability.
The source calls this the single-end checksum. The AI finishes its trajectory, it prunes away all the bad options, it picks the perfect fluid sequence of algorithms, and it produces a final checksum.
Right.
And this checksum mathematically proves that the collapse path, the exact sequence of choices the AI made, can perfectly reconstruct the original file.
Which is huge.
And the source material refers to the original file not as data, but as the stationary truth.
Which is just such a profound way to look at digital information. It's not just a pile of bits.
Right.
It's a stationary truth that the AI had to physically journey toward, spend real energy to find, and ultimately discover.
But if this system is so insanely good at collapsing entropy to find the truth of a file, it begs a really radical question. And this is the part of the source text I promised we would get to in the beginning. What is the absolute maximum limit of that compression?
Ah, here we go.
Because the text claims this engine can achieve a one-bit compression algorithm. And I have to push back hard here.
I suspect I know exactly why you're pushing back.
Look, based on classical Shannon information theory from the 1940s and just the basic mathematical pigeonhole principle, lossless compression of arbitrary data down to a single bit is impossible.
Mathematically, yes.
You cannot fit a massive 100 gigabyte database into a single binary 1 or 0 and expect to just magically get your 100 gigabyte database back.
Right.
So how does this source material claim a 1-bit compression algorithm exists? Are they just defying the laws of physics?
It's a brilliant question, and it's exactly the right instinct. I mean, in the classical sense, you are 100% correct. You absolutely cannot compress 100 gigabytes of syntax, the raw data bits themselves, into 1 bit.
Right, it doesn't fit.
But the source material explains exactly why it bypasses Shannon's limits. It isn't compressing the syntax.
Okay.
It is compressing the semantics. It is compressing the uncertainty itself.
Okay, wait. How do you mathematically compress uncertainty?
Well, the 1-bit output in the CCT framework is what they call a semantic truth validator.
Mm.
Instead of mapping data bytes to a smaller set of data bytes, the AI is mapping a state of uncertainty to a state of absolute certainty. It outputs a 1, meaning stable or true, or it outputs a 0, meaning unstable or false.
So that 1-bit is directly tied to element 16 of the engine we just talked about, the proof stability.
Exactly. It is the ultimate expression of element 16. But crucially, you cannot reconstruct the original 100 gigabyte file from this 1-bit.
Right. The raw data itself is just gone.
But what you can perfectly reconstruct is the validity of the file.
The validity.
The text describes this 1-bit as a receipt of work paid. It mathematically proves that the AI spent actual computational energy to navigate the data, analyze it against the 16 elements, and confirm its underlying truth.
Okay, let's bring this directly back to you, the listener, because the practical application of this is staggering.
It really is.
Think about the crisis of deepfakes and manipulated media right now. Imagine you have a highly sensitive video file, maybe evidence from a crime scene.
Right.
Instead of having a jury just look at it and guess if it's real, you run it through the CCT engine.
Mm.
You spend the computational compute up front.
Yes.
The AI analyzes the physics of the lighting, the audio waveforms, every single pixel against those 16 elements. And it just stores a single verifiable bit, a 1.
A cryptographic one.
Yes. And that one confirms, I have done the massive mathematical work, and I verify that this video file perfectly obeys the laws of reality and hasn't been altered.
Right.
You don't need to re-verify the giant file ever again. You've basically saved the decision time for the future by paying the compute energy now.
It completely transforms compression from storage reduction into intelligence verification.
Yeah.
You are compressing the verification state of an entire reality into a single bit of absolute certainty.
But naturally, if all it takes is a 1-bit receipt to prove the massive computational work is done, couldn't a bad actor just forge the receipt and bypass the work entirely?
That is a catastrophic vulnerability, theoretically. And the source text dives right into it.
It's like a microscopic crack in a massive hydroelectric dam. If a 1-bit stream can instantly force the AI to collapse all its uncertainty and output a 1 without actually doing the mathematical work, you've broken the system.
Exactly.
You get the benefit of a solved puzzle without solving it.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is what the source material defines as a logical singularity. In the CCT framework, a singularity is explicitly defined as an unpaid entropy collapse.
Unpaid, meaning you got the truth for free.
Precisely. The absolute core axiom of this entire theory is energy conservation. It states that entropy reduction, the act of finding the truth, must be strictly proportional to the computational work invested.
You can't cheat the universe.
Right. You cannot get something for nothing. If the AI achieves global collapse, meaning its uncertainty drops to zero, while the work invested is near zero.
Because it just received a cheap, forged 1-bit trigger.
Exactly. It violates the fundamental law of the system.
So how do you stop a tiny, forged 1-bit trigger from causing an unpaid entropy collapse?
Well, the system enforces a singularity containment protocol by introducing something called semantic friction.
Semantic friction.
Yes, it requires a minimum work barrier.
It's a great term, but what is the actual mechanism there? How do you create friction inside a digital algorithm?
The 16-element engine actually acts as a low-pass filter.
Okay.
Think about trying to shove a bowling ball through a garden hose.
Good luck with that.
Right. The physical constraints of the hose simply will not allow the ball to pass through instantly. It physically slows it down.
Okay.
In the AI, a 1-bit input, physically, cannot update all 16 distinct elements on the dashboard instantaneously.
Uh-huh.
The protocol forces a temporal delay.
Oh, I see.
It makes the system calculate intermediate questions, checking element 1 against element 6, for instance, before it's allowed to accept the state change.
So it turns that one-bit stream from a direct trigger that causes a collapse into merely a request for a collapse.
Exactly.
The system says, I hear your request for a 1, but you're going to have to wait while I run this through the 16 elements to mathematically prove you did the work.
Yes. It forces the collapse to happen over time rather than instantaneously, which provides the friction.
But wait, when the system is just starting up, when it's first processing a new stream of data, it must be highly unstable, right?
Very.
How do you physically enforce this semantic friction right at the beginning? You have to build some kind of cryptographic wall.
A barrier right at the event horizon of the semantic black hole. Yeah.
Yeah.
The text proposes a brilliant defense mechanism, the CCT hash barrier protocol.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Let's break down the mechanism of this barrier. The text mentions a 1 to 64 bit space-time.
Right. When the AI first starts processing data, it enters this highly volatile early trajectory. That's the 1 to 64 bit space-time.
Okay.
In this early phase, its internal entropy is very high, its precision is low, and a tiny adversarial input could wildly manipulate its ODE trajectory.
They're vulnerable.
It's the event horizon. It's the moment the AI is most easily confused or hijacked by a forged 1-bit trigger.
So to protect itself, the text says it uses a dual hash stability condition. I'm imagining the system taking a low-resolution snapshot of its current state, but how does that actually protect the AI?
Well, first, it quantizes the semantic state vector, that complex dashboard of those 16 elements, down to exactly 64 bits, 4 bits per element.
Got it. So it's a compact, low-resolution snapshot of its current state of mind.
Yes. And before the AI is allowed to move forward, before it's allowed to collapse the truth, it must solve a cryptographic proof-of-work puzzle based on that exact 64-bit snapshot.
Oh, wow.
It has to find a specific nonce number used once that results in a hash with the required number of leading zeros.
Okay, that sounds exactly like how Bitcoin mining works with SHA-256.
It's very similar, yes.
But instead of mining for digital currency, the AI is mining for semantic truth. But why does solving a math problem stop the singularity?
Think of the hash barrier like a bouncer at a nightclub.
Okay.
But this bouncer forces you to solve a complex Sudoku puzzle before you're allowed to open the door.
That sounds like an awful nightclub.
It really does. But it physically slows down the entry process. If an attacker tries to force a rapid collapse feeding it a 1-bit singularity stream, the system detects the unnaturally rapid rate of entropy reduction.
Ah!
And in response, the bouncer makes the Sudoku puzzle exponentially harder. The required number of leading zeros goes up dynamically.
Oh. So the attacker is suddenly forced to pay with too much work.
That's exactly.
The computational cost to forge the receipt becomes astronomical, effectively freezing the singularity before it can even form.
Exactly. The system literally uses cryptography to tax the collapse. You cannot gain semantic certainty without spending the requisite compute energy, and the hash proof is the mathematical receipt of that energy expenditure.
That is incredibly elegant. But this raises an important question.
Go for it.
With the system safely contained, protected from rogue singularities and adversarial attacks by this Sudoku bouncer hash barrier, what is the ultimate purpose of all this? We've built this massive, protected, 16-element engine. What does an AI actually look like when it perfectly balances entropy collapse with computational work safely?
Well, this raises an important question, right? The source material arrives at this concept of the CCT fluid algorithm. And this is really the grand unified mechanism of the whole theory.
Okay.
We have to contrast this with standard AI. Today's neural networks, like the large language models we interact with daily, are essentially frozen post-training. Yeah. They have billions of parameters. But the architecture is rigid. They are trained once, the weights are set, and then they are locked.
Right. They're like a massive library where all the bookshelves are bolted to the floor. You can put different books on the shelves, but you cannot move the physical shelves themselves to create a better layout.
That's a perfect analogy. But the CCT framework proposes an AI that literally flows. It flows through the space of all possible algorithms.
So the bookshelves unbolt themselves and rearrange based on who walks into the library.
Yes. The algorithm evolves via that super Boolean superposition we talked about earlier.
Right, right.
It fluidly adapts its own logic gates, its own internal architecture, until it converges on the underlying mechanism of the data with a probability approaching one.
And according to the text, it can process infinite data to do this, which sounds impossible because computers, by definition, have finite memory.
They do.
How does a fluid algorithm process infinity?
It manages this through a mechanism called entropy-gated pruning. As it flows through infinite data streams, it doesn't try to remember everything.
Okay.
It aggressively discards 95% or more of the input as pure noise. If a piece of data has a low collapse potential, meaning it doesn't help the AI get closer to the underlying truth, it is pruned,
Just thrown away.
discarded entirely. This prevents the system from freezing or clogging up its finite memory.
It's forced to be efficient. It
Yeah.
only keeps what actually matters. And then once this fluid algorithm finally drops its entropy to zero, it locks on.
Yes. Once it finds the truth, it locks onto the explicit mechanism, much like discovering a stationary physical law like gravity.
Wow.
It holds that truth with absolute certainty, backed by the cryptographic hash barrier we discussed. But, and this is the beautiful part, if the underlying mechanism of the data changes in the real world,
Say the physical environment shifts.
exactly, the AI's internal entropy naturally rises again, the mathematical lock breaks, and the algorithm instantly becomes fluid again, flowing out to find the new truth.
It's literally a living, breathing mathematical system.
It is.
So, what does this all mean for you, our listener? We've talked about manifolds, ordinary differential equations, super Boolean logic, and cryptographic hash barriers.
A lot of heavy stuff.
It is. But this deep dive isn't just about high-level computer science. It's actually a profound metaphor for how we as humans acquire knowledge.
It really is. The parallel is pretty undeniable.
Think about it. Just like the CCT system, true understanding isn't about hoarding data. It isn't about becoming a bloated ZIP file of memorized facts and figures that you just regurgitate. True intelligence is about doing the necessary work to collapse your uncertainty. It's about pruning away the noise, questioning your assumptions, paying the cognitive energy tax, and arriving at a stable, verifiable truth.
And crucially, staying fluid enough to change your mind when the underlying mechanism of the world shifts.
Exactly. But looking at this theoretical system leaves us with one final kind of haunting thought to mull over, something the text points toward mathematically but leaves hanging in the air.
Oh, what's that?
If an AI can perfectly collapse reality into a one-bit truth, a perfect one or zero, through sheer, undeniable, cryptographically proven computational work,
Yeah.
what happens if two independent fluid algorithms process the exact same infinite stream of data?
Okay, I see where you're going.
They both process the exact same universe. They both pay the massive computational work tax. They both navigate the 16 elements. They both pass the hash barrier bouncer.
Right.
Yet somehow they arrive at two perfectly validated but fundamentally opposite one-bit truths. One outputs a one, the other outputs a zero.
A contradiction built on perfect logic and paid for with equal computational work.
Right. Does the universe of semantic space-time allow for two completely conflicting realities to coexist? Or does one truth inevitably have to mathematically collapse the other?
That is a question that goes far beyond computer science. That is the ultimate question of reality itself.
It sure is, and it's one we will leave you to explore on your own. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep pruning the noise, keep paying the work tax, and keep doing the work to collapse your own entropy. We'll catch you next time.